It's been 2 weeks, but we are back. Eurobash is here again. Rejoice. I was away, of course, for UFC 243. I was in the air when we usually record, so we had to take a little break for a week. But now we're back. How are you, Niall McGrath?
I was sick anyway, so it's actually probably better we didn't do. I was in a grump after I got home from my holiday, so a bit of a chest infection, PT. But fair play to you. Great work again, may I say.
Oh, well done, hombre.
Excellent stuff over in Aussie.
Yeah, it was actually, it's a great city, but I mean, I didn't really get to see that much of it, to be honest. It looks class, though. But how was the holidays?
Good.
Did you get the old lung infection from the air conditioning and what have you?
I generally think so, yeah.
Every time it's sick.
I was in bits, man.
And then the plane on the way home just usually throws you over the edge.
I think it was. I was like literally lying in bed on Wednesday night when I got home and I was like, black lung pop. That sort of feeling, you know. I was like,
merman.
I'm a merman.
But you had a good time.
That was great, man. Yeah. Really good fun. Just good to cleanse the soul, I think. You know, even
the soul.
Yeah, even the bit of fresh air and the bit of sun, I think, just puts you in a better mood and puts a better perspective on life. I think I recommend everyone should get at least away 2 times a year. That's what I'm going to do from now on, baby.
That's the Southside dream.
Oh yeah.
I'm quite happy to stay where I am for the moment. But let's take a look at the news. I don't have news over the last 2 weeks because
it's just ridiculous. Didn't give
a shit. But
be here all night.
Let's see what happened over the last week that I could actually remember the takedown. Fedor v. Rampage Jackson will headline Bellator v. Rizin on December 29th, I believe.
Very tired after hearing that.
I mean, I guess it makes sense in Japan, though, right?
Ah, come on, man. How much more do we have to say about these fights? It's like Barney the Dinosaur, you know, fighting against.
It's not Chuck and Tito, though.
Oh, man,
it's not Chuck
and
Tito.
It's not far off it, dude.
Ah, it is, yeah.
It isn't, really.
Ah, it is. I mean, it's not. No, none of them have had like a 5-year break from the sport and are coming back.
I won't be staying up live to watch that one. Just
you won't have
way.
To. It's on at like 12 a.m. Twelve.
All right,
well,
I watch it then.
MVP versus Derek Anderson, not Paul Daly, which many expected, will main event Bellator 235 in London. Derek Anderson's like 16-3. He's got a couple of wins. Got a lot of performances in. He's coming into the fight in the back of 2 wins. He's had a lot of fights under the Bellator banner, but is that blowing your socks off?
No.
Nah, not me either, man.
No, I would have preferred the Daly one would have been a bit more crack.
Yeah, and I mean, even though the first fight was absolutely tragic, I mean, it's just
Daly couldn't have been worse than that, though. Could he? Could he been worse than the first fight?
Yeah.
Well, maybe he could have, but it wasn't
but
a great
I think
display
it'd be
him.
More of a spectacle, though, this time around. But so bit disappointed with that, but maybe I'm not giving Derek Anderson the credit he deserves. He certainly looks like a durable, like a well-tested fighter, a good record, but just the name value really isn't there. Yeah. But MVP is always the main side of that. What's wrong with you? You're fidgeting over there.
No, sorry, nothing. No,
fucking jumping around the place. Rhys McKee will take on Hakon Foss in the main event of Cage Warriors Irish Return in November. That's a great fight. Mm. It's going to be a very violent fight for as long as it lasts, I'd imagine, with those two in there.
Yeah, Foss needs a win as well. He's got 3-4, is he, in his last 5?
And Rhys will obviously want to introduce himself to that welterweight rank in the most dramatic fashion he possibly can. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting down there for that. Nathan Rose v. Harry Hardwick, also added to Bellator London, which will be headed by MVP and Derek Anderson. A big signing for Brave in Ireland with Ryan Curtis penning a multi-fight exclusive deal with them, and it's straight into the big fights for him as he takes on Amir Albazi.
I was a bit surprised at that because I thought Bellator would have signed him up. Was he not, you know, after that fight? Obviously, he wasn't on a deal.
They aren't starting a flyweight division because you have so many good guys, like especially Jake Hadley, who got a win over Blaine O'Driscoll. Guys like that. Like, I mean, I don't understand why they wouldn't. And obviously, Ryan, he commands a big
audience.
But I guess they don't need it if they're selling it out anyway. You know, like I'm just saying. But look, that's a huge fight. Him and Amir Albazi is a serious fight. Albazi just lost his first ever pro fight to, Jose Torres, isn't it?
Yeah, Shorty Torres.
Yeah, they fought for the Brave flyweight title. So, Curta will be taking him on November 15th in Bahrain.
Bahrain.
Yeah. that's going to be a big week for Brave as well because obviously the IMAF World Championships are going down as well. And we'll have another talking point from that.
Yeah, I had to block their press releases because they were annoying me so much. So sorry, you filled me in there before we went on the air here.
Artem Lobov will take on Jason Knight a second time on November 16th, I believe. I mean, this is a lack of imagination from bare knuckle, isn't it? I mean, you've beaten Jason already. You've beaten Paulie Malignaggi. What will we do next?
But then when he fought Paulie, they were best mates in the corner as well.
I know, but him like, and
Jason,
I know,
like,
but
it's odd, man.
Like Artem v Jason Knight, it's kind of like. That should be on the back burner for them when nothing else is there.
Exactly.
And so the fact that they're making it already, I'm like, you're already running out of imagination.
I think they're running out of money as well. Like, I don't know, man. I find it very, very strange. I totally agree with you. I think they could have done something else.
Artem deserves something good after Paulie as well. Yeah, like, if this is a real thing, if this is a real promotion, like, how are you going to... He's already beaten Jason in the fight before the one he fought.
It's his third bare knuckle fight, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, I mean, Jesus. And look, I mean, I hope he's getting well paid. I saw that guy's paid. Yeah, their faces after the first fight, man. I hope they're getting a lot of money for that. Yeah, so look, let's move on to some talking points. I digged into the dredges of MMA today to get this for you, Noel. Just to spark a bit of a rant in you, maybe. Oh, have you heard... of Fame MMA UK. Thanks so much to Chris Boyne for sharing this and saying it's going to be a big event. But my word, Scotty T.
Oh, I googled him.
He is in Geordie Shore and he'll be taking on Steve Bear of X on the Beach and Big Brother in the main event.
Get the fuck out of here.
This is mad, isn't
it? Man, it's just bullshit.
Aaron Chalmers, there is blood on your hands. Yeah.
They're fucking it. Like, they're it, man.
I love you, Aaron, this is what you've done. This is your fault.
Can I just tell people, don't tune into this shit, man. Like, seriously, what a load of horse manure this is. Like, this other crap, these two boxers on, what do they call these YouTubers?
KS1
like,
or whatever.
What the fuck are people, like, I'm embarrassed for you if you watch this shit. It's cringe, man.
But it's not for MMA fans. It's for teeny boppers who follow these YouTube pages or whatever.
Yeah, well, isn't that a great example? It's like, bloody fighting. Let's create a YouTube channel and just start a fucking fight. Like, at least you're for pro fighter, fair enough. But, man, this is absolute garbage. Like, why are we even giving this bloody airtime?
Because it's funny and it's so you
I'm so angry. So like,
you'll
I'm do just this. Like this. I want to just scream. Don't watch it. Pay for it. It is shit.
I've been watching this for the last couple of weeks and saying, I'm just going to drop this in at the right time. It's going down December 14th in Newcastle. 11,000 people could go to that event in that arena.
What is wrong with the Geordies? Why do Geordies love this kind of thing?
How much will it sell? Look, and bear in mind, Aaron Chalmers has fucking blocked our socks off a few times in how much people he gets into an arena and stuff like that.
Yeah, Aaron's different now at this point.
But is Scotty T as big as a deal as Aaron? I don't know. Like,
I'd be well known sort of like... reality TV personality. So German that twat, Stephen Bear.
I saw him throwing shapes on the camera, like in slow-mo for the build-up. I was in tears, man, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, it's just... What's wrong with Newcastle? What's wrong with the people of Newcastle?
Fogging the town.
They beat United last week as well.
Fogging the town is all mine, all mine.
Fogging the town is all mine.
So, who do you got, Scotty T or Stephen Bear?
I could not give a shit.
I don't even know what they really look like, to be honest.
It's just... your man Scotty T is a big dude. He's tall. He's about 6'4" or 6'5", so...
About the same size as us, like.
Yeah, it's probably free weight, is it?
I don't fucking... I don't know if they even do weight division. Yeah. But apparently 16 celebrities are going to take on each other on the night.
Fucking hell.
I mean, if Scotty T and Steve Bear, two lads I've never even heard of, are the main event, who the fuck is going to be the curtain jerker? Who's going to be the first fight? Like,
Jesus Christ. I don't know. It's just... listen, I want to move on. I'm
getting very
irritated.
He was so refreshed for the first 5 minutes of this. You've and then he needs a holiday again straight away.
You killed me.
Are you ready for another one?
Go on.
You're going to really enjoy this one. Brave
for fuck's sake.
November 15th are going to put on...
Beatty's just putting a wind on me now. That's all you're fucking doing.
Are going to put on an open weight tournament, right? So let me just give me a second to thaw this one out for you.
Oh, God.
So they're saying the belt is 6.5 kilos of gold for some reason. Unless you can sell the fucking thing, who cares? But listen to this. This is by Marcel Dorf, Big Marcel 24 on Twitter, a great news getter in this sport, especially in Europe.
He is.
Here he goes. The 15 chosen fighters who make a chance to fight in the 4-man tournament to fight for the KHK Open Weight Championships. That's a 6.5 gold belt. Here's just a few names just to give you an idea of this. Jeremy Kennedy, bantamweight. Alex Emelianenko, heavyweight. Cole Miller, known featherweight. Amir Ali Akbari, heavyweight, who has a history of failing drug tests. That's just a sample size there. Now, luckily enough, Aaron Bronstetter got straight on it. and he said he'd asked Jeremy Kennedy, and he's not in it. So this is the 15 fighters who could possibly whittle down to four. That's a joke, isn't it? Like, this is unsafe. If this is real, obviously Jeremy's not
Brave go on about their, you know, oh, we're such a gloryful promotion with all these stupid fucking emails.
This is dragging us back to the 90s now.
This is Stone Age shit, man. And if they want to go ahead with this, I guarantee I won't be supporting it. I hope other hacks like yourself and other guys won't be, you know, covering this. This is absolute bullshit.
I hope it ends up to be like Emelianenko, Oival. You know, like heavyweights. Well,
the way they're promoting it is, you're saying that's pathetic. That's going back to, you know, the early days of the sport when there was obviously no weight classes. Yeah, the UFC 1 or whatever. Like, this is just absolutely fucking ludicrous shit. And anyone who, again, wants to participate in this shit should get a slap in the face, because it's absolute bullshit. And I don't want to see the sport go down this route. You know, there's enough sort of battles we've had with the sport over the years, and having a look at this shite, nah, who wants to see that, man? Seriously, it's just absolute horse manure.
Terrible idea. Like, especially when you have a good fight like Ryan Curtis and Albazi. Like, when you have a fight of that standard, you don't need to be doing this show pony stuff. Like, I mean,
I wonder though, is it maybe just is this a PR ploy?
Yeah.
And it'll maybe never happen. Maybe it is.
I hope it is. Obviously Aaron Bronstetter has come out and he said he's asked Jeremy Kennedy. Kennedy is not involved in this.
Yeah, well, that's very strange that's
can they
even
like, are they even giving them like a few hundred quid just to say, we're going to put you in this press release?
Yeah, well, maybe they have. I don't know.
I feel
know,
like he wouldn't have come out and immediately said, absolutely not, if he was, you know?
Just think about how stupid this is. Like, it's
Alex
it's,
Emelianenko versus Cole Miller. Just like, for yeah, people who...
He will snap him like a twig within 3 minutes of the fight. And, you know, who wants to see someone get severely injured if that does happen? And someone will get severely injured if this crap goes ahead, and I call on everyone to
shun this
event, because it's totally unsafe, and it's bringing the sport back, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, it's rough as a dog's arse, as we say in Dublin. But right, we get on with our first interview of the day. It's fan favorite Eurobash legend Piotr Jan, who basically called out every single person in the bantamweight division, as he does.
As he always does.
Fantastic stuff on the champion Henry Cejudo. He says he's going to make Cejudo bend the knee. Fantastic. He also, you know, took a few shots at a few guys who haven't responded to his call-outs.
Did he have a shot at you again?
Obviously. But, you know, he feels as though the division is being held up with Cejudo being both flyweight and bantamweight champion.
I'm wanting to fight all the women as well. And like,
well, he also said that like the arrivals of the supposed arrivals of, well, Faber's already there, but Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar has everyone paused as well, because everyone wants to be the guy that faces these guys, but they obviously all want big fights as well. Mm-hmm. So it's leaving him in a tough position as one of the top contenders. Like, who wants to take on this guy from Russia who's a killing machine?
Yeah, I think Cejudo needs to start talking and you know, sort of shit or get off the pot at this point, because he's been doing this triple C shit for God knows how long, and just book a fight, man. Fucking hell.
Jesus. We got Noel back into rage within 10 minutes. It's been a fantastic day for me. We're going to be back to talk about the 1 million MMA events that took place this weekend, but we're going to do it very quickly because fuck me.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's literally, we have to get through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 events. Yeah. So, jab less. We'll see you in a few minutes. Here's Piotr Jan. And once again, he is back. The man you have all been waiting for. It is Piotr Jan, one of the greatest bantamweight competitors in the world at the moment. He is joined by the lovely Soyat once again to translate his lovely musings. But first of all, how are you? How are you, Soyat, and how is Piotr?
Everything good. Thank you for having us.
Hello, my friend. It's good.
Excellent. Excellent to hear from him. His English is getting better once again. It just keeps getting better and better. My God. But we haven't seen or heard, well, we've heard a lot from Piotr, but we haven't heard of any matchups being made. What's going on? I know he's in Thailand at the moment, but does he believe he is on the verge of something being booked for him, or is he stuck in a rut, so to speak?
Okay. Он говорит, очень много слышали от тебя в последнее время, много вызовов, да, но ты сейчас в Таиланде, тренируешься, но до сих пор тебе не дали бой, считаешь ли ты, что в ближайшее время уже объявят твой бой и дадут соперника тебе?
Да, конечно, хочется надеяться на это, что в ближайшее время узнаю имя соперника, чтобы уже было более интереснее готовиться. Вот. Так, без разницы еще. Мы ждем информации.
Yeah, of course, I hope something will get booked very soon, because, you know, it will be more interesting to prepare when I have a name. And yeah, I hope something gets done like as soon as possible.
I saw that he mentioned Faber. He was offered a fight with Faber, but then Faber re-retired, as he put it. What happened there? Did he think that was going to happen? A lot of people feel as though Piotr is the last person that Faber should be trying to fight at the moment.
Он слышал, что была ситуация с Фейбером, что тебе предложили Фейбера, но, как говорили, что Фейбер отказался от этого боя. Что там произошло? И многие говорят, что ты последний человек, с кем Фейберу нужно драться.
Ну да, конечно, я тоже так считаю, потому что после меня придется завязать ему с боем, с боями. Но если так, то, конечно, мне интересно было подраться с Фейбером, это большое имя, вот. И также я понимаю, что он ищет себе соперника для поединка, он хочет, претендует на пояс, поэтому я думаю, было бы справедливо нам сразиться и понять, что реально ли я заслуживаю это, и реально ли он достоин этого, а не то, что просто на своем имени катить как бы.
Yeah, I agree with you, like, I'm the last person Faber should fight, because after fight with me, he probably will retire again. Yeah. But to be fair, I understand... He's looking for a better fight for himself, but if he claims he's a contender, he want to fight for the title, so am I. I want to fight for the title too, so we can find out who's a better contender. If he don't want to fight for the title, okay, he can have his other fights, you know, his how to say, like,
easier fights
that not easier fights, yeah, but if you want to fight for the title, yeah, you have to fight the number one contenders, and I believe I am the number one contender now.
It felt as though a lot of the talk was about Edgar and Sterling, which was a big fight in theory, and then Sterling, of course, announces that he's injured, and everybody is kind of saying, well, Peter should fight Edgar now. Is this what he was hoping for as well?
Много разговоров было, что Эдгар будет драться за Стерлингом, но потом Стерлинг сказал, что он травмирован, и многие посчитали, что раз так случилось, то значит ты должен драться с Эдгаром. Что ты думаешь по этому поводу?
Я очень бы хотел встретиться с Эдгаром, но почему-то мы о нем не разговаривали, так прям, не знаю, почему-то упустили эту мысль, да? Но если Эдгар будет согласен драться со мной и Сей даст мне этот бой, можете рассчитывать на меня, что я покажу вам жесткий, зрелищный, красивый бой.
Yeah, I would love to fight Edgar. Like, I didn't call him out or anything, like, but if UFC will offer me this fight, I will not turn it down, you know. I'm really interested in this fight too. And if this fight will happen, I'll make sure it's going to be a very interesting and exciting matchup.
So this fight has never been offered. It's not a case of Edgar not wanting the fight. This is just something that hasn't really, UFC haven't tried to make it happen yet.
Ну вообще тебе этот бой официально не предлагали, ты вообще не думал об этом бое, правильно?
Ну не предлагали, как бы не, ну когда сказали, что Эдгар спускается в 61, я сказал, что с ним бы тоже хотел подраться. Вот. Но он тоже будет прятаться 3 дня, не отвечать.
Yeah, UFC never offered me this fight, but when Edgar announced that he's coming down, yeah, I already said that I'm ready if you want, but I don't think he's willing to fight me too, you know. If I call him out, he'll stay silent too.
It seems like it's a very frustrating situation. Is he frustrated at the moment? Because, you know, I know how active he likes to stay, and, you know, without a fight being there in front of him, is that a frustrating situation for him to be in?
Тебя немного раздражает эта ситуация, так как ты любишь оставаться активным, и сейчас никто не отвечает на твои вызовы, и тебе не дают соперника. Тебя это как-то беспокоит, раздражает?
Да, меня это не то, что раздражает. Я просто понимаю, что это не может быть, но они не могут об этом не знать, и раз они боятся, ой, то есть, в смысле, раз они не отвечают, значит, они чего-то хотят другого, вот. Ну, по большей степени... Да за себя сами сказать, если они ответить не могут, даже за себя Морайс не может ответить, то он, да, у меня уважение к нему пропадает.
I can't say I'm frustrated, but you know, it's hard to believe all of these guys, they don't hear me talking, they don't hear my call-outs, you know, and they can't even answer from themselves, for themselves, like Marlon, you know, I called him out and he can't even answer me, you know. I lose respect to the fighter like that. You know, you can deny fighting me, but you can at least answer me, you know.
Yes, and there's only two people ahead of you in the rankings that could fight you at the moment, and that's Corey, who you have called out a few times, and Marlon, as you just mentioned, who hasn't responded to you calling him out. Does he feel as though they're the only likely matchups? They're the ones he wants, the guys in front of him, right?
Сейчас вышли в рейтинге, кто доступен, только Кори и Марлон. Получается, ты заинтересован драться только с теми, кто выше тебя в рейтинге, получается?
Да нет, не то чтобы я заинтересован драться с теми, кто выше меня. Хотелось, да, конечно, по большому счету подраться с теми, кто выше меня. Вот. Но если даже не получится с ними драться, то я думаю, что моя команда примет нужное решение и все.
Yeah, I prefer to fight guys who's higher in rankings than me, but you know, if they're not available or they don't want to fight me, I believe there's other options too, you know, like me and my team, we can make a good decision on that too, you know. There's good fights to be made in this division.
Хочу быть претендентом номер один, вот. А кто, что, как, мне без разницы.
I want that belt and I want to prove that I'm the number one contender in the division, and who and where, I don't really care. Just give me the person and I will prove that I deserve it.
I saw he tweeted out his congratulations to Israel Adesanya. And I see a lot of parallels between Piotr and Israel because of the way they came into the UFC and they just start charging through the division, constantly winning and constantly fighting. What does he think of Stylebender? Does he see him as an inspiration? He must be very happy to see him get that title finally.
Он говорит, видел, что ты поздравлял Израиля Адесанью с победой, и он видит много параллелей между вами, много схожего. И что ты вообще думаешь о нем? Вдохновляет ли тебя его такой быстрый подъем? И ну, вообще в целом, как ты оцениваешь его?
Я поздравил его, потому что я с ним знаком был здесь, когда он еще не был чемпионом, он начинал свой такой путь только в UFC. Вот, нет-нет, мы пересекались на мероприятиях, где-то общались, да. Вот. Конечно же, вдохновляет, что за такое короткое время он стал чемпионом, и тоже хочется стать чемпионом, вот, и все.
Yeah, I congratulated him because I knew him even before he was in UFC. We met a few times here in Tiger, and of course, his journey is inspiring me because I want what he accomplished already. I want to be the champion of the UFC.
Is it upsetting for Peter that he isn't going to be on that upcoming Moscow card? Was that his hope, or was that something that he thought he wasn't going to be on anyway? Because I know the people there really want to see him fight.
Надеялся ли ты, что ты выступишь на турнире в Москве, и как бы расстроился ты, что тебя туда не поставили?
Нет, я не надеялся. Если бы надеялся, мы бы знали об этом заранее. Но как бы хотелось бы выступить там, например, да, но чтобы я расстроился, нет такого. Я понимаю, что, значит, так должно быть.
I kind of knew that I'm not gonna be on this card, but of course I always want to compete at home. I want to compete in Moscow, but I didn't get upset because I kind of knew that something else was planned for me.
Они не хотят ехать домой с тем, с кем хочу я драться. Они просто не хотят боя. В Москву лететь они тем более придумают 40 болячек там отмазок.
And Peter, they don't even want to fight me in their hometown. What do you think they're gonna come to the Moscow to fight me? You know, they're gonna make themselves a lot of like 40 excuses not to fight me. So I don't think it's possible to get done.
What does Piotr mean when he said he had something else planned? What does he mean when he says that?
Когда ты говоришь, что у тебя свои другие большие планы, что ты имеешь в виду? Можешь раскрыть?
Ну, мои планы – это чемпионство, это титул, это просто, чтобы вот этот тройной цепь, или как бы там, трипл си, преклонил колено передо мной, понимаешь?
So my plans, you know, it's pretty obvious. My plans is to become the champion, to hold the belt, and my plans is that triple C will bend the knee for me.
He spoke about the belt a lot. Does he feel as though the situation that Henry Cejudo is in, being champion at both flyweight and bantamweight, this is leading to the division being held up the way it is, or at least the way it seems to be, the way Piotr's speaking? Nobody wants to fight him, you know?
Считаешь ли ты, что то, что Сехуду чемпион в двух весах, это как-то сдерживает дивизион, и это как-то связано с тем, что люди тоже не хотят с тобой драться?
Ну, конечно, сдерживает, потому что он сам неопределен, и чуть-чуть неопределена ситуация, там, в 61-57, вот он, говорю, этот, все в таком состоянии, в подвешенном. Чуть-чуть то, что ребята спустились, еще наш вес, Эдгар, там, Альден, спускаются, типа, чуть непонятно там. А так просто дайте мне любую жертву, и все, и пойдем готовиться.
Yeah, of course, it's holding up the division and everything kind of hanging in the air, because Henry, he don't know himself what he's going to do. He didn't say he's going to defend his flyweight title first or bantamweight title. He didn't make decision himself. It's holding up the division. And Frankie Edgar and Jose Aldo plan to come down to our division is also like changing the landscape too. So, yeah.
Does he like that fight with Henry? Like, he keeps speaking about being the champion. I know that's his goal. Does he look at that matchup and says, yeah, I actually think I'm going to do really well against this guy?
Ты много говоришь о Генри, о чемпионстве. Именно как стилистически этот бой тебе интересен, считаешь, как ты, у тебя хорошие шансы против него?
Да, у меня очень хорошие шансы против него. Я знаю, как драться с борцами, с ударниками. Я просто люблю драться, и я составлю ему очень много проблем в этом поединке. Он может пусть даже не думать, что у меня закончится бензин после первого раунда. Я буду готов на все 5 раундов и буду готов на 10 раундов.
Yeah, I believe stylistically I match up very well with him. You know, I'm really doing well against wrestlers, and you know, he can believe I'm not gonna get tired after one round like someone else did, and I'll be ready for 5 and 10 rounds if needed. You know.
Just one final question, and thank you guys so much. It's always great to speak to you guys, and once again, Piotr has been giving me some fantastic answers today. But I just wanted to know, he mentioned earlier that if it wasn't Corey or Marlon, he thinks there's other options out there, him and his team, like you, Soyat, you believe there are other options out there. Is it people like Aldo that appeal to him, like a legend moving down to the into the bantamweight division? Would that be an ideal situation for Piotr to fight a guy like him?
Как всегда, отличный ответ, и спасибо тебе большое. И еще один последний вопрос. Когда ты сказал, что если те, кто выше тебя в рейтинге, не будут доступны, там можно будет другие бои организовать. Считаешь ли ты, что, допустим, бой с такой легендой спорта, как Жозе Алдо, возможен, и был бы ты заинтересован?
Ну, если этот бой будет возможен, я думаю, что чистой спортивной составляющей мне будет очень интересно принять этот бой, да, это будет большой бой, большое имя, вот. Я приму этот бой, потому что у меня есть мечта, цель, план, я думаю, также и у Альдо, да, раз он спускается в 61. Я думаю, мы закатим хороший бой, и все-таки молодость – это опасно, ядерное оружие. Вставайте у меня на пути лучше.
Yeah, so of course, like, for me, as an athlete, as a sportsman, it's interesting to see. To compete against such a great athlete like Jose Aldo. And if he plans to go down, I'm sure he have big plans too. And I'm sure he wants the belt. And just same with Uriah. If he want to fight for the belt, prove he's number one contender, so am I. So we can see who deserves it more. I believe it's going to be a good fight. And I believe use will prevail, you know, use is like atomic weapon, you know.
Yes.
Фаби, расскажите, пусть он в себя придет, пусть он проснется там. Марайс тоже пусть проснется, в чувство придет. Спит до сих пор, 3 дня не отвечает.
Yeah, Faber, he needs to wake up, you know, he needs to finally say something, you know, and also Marlon, you know, it's been like 4 or 5 days since I called him out, you know, he's still sleeping.
Well, thank you so much, guys, and I'm sorry I was late today, and I know you have you've just got to go training right now, so I really appreciate you holding on for me, and I really hope that Piotr gets a fight soon, because we want to see him back in there.
Thanks, Peter.
All the best,
давай,
guys.
Братан, на связи. Давай, брат, связь.
Absolutely.
Yeah, stay in touch, Peter.
Okay, I will do. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We back. Thank you so much to Mr. Piotr Jan for getting on once again. What a legend, man. I love talking to that guy. And Soyat, the lovely Soyat, who has to translate I'd
actually love to see what he's or hear what he's actually saying.
I love
when those translators lie.
Now my favorite
time.
Thing is when Piotr's speaking Russian and Soyad's listening to him, you just hear him breaking his bollocks laughing. Before he tells you what he said, I love that, man.
They so all good. Lie, these translators. They lie. Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't threaten my life this time. I'm very grateful. Thanks, Piotr. Love you.
Great stuff.
But, right, UFC Tampa. Joanna is still one of the greatest fighters in the world. So many of you doubted her. So many. And that was a masterclass. And she broke her foot. Like, I think it was the second or third round. Her foot looks ridiculous. It looks so like Shrek's foot at the moment.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Yeah.
But it just shows you how much of a tough badass she is, man.
Oh, she's an absolute serial killer. She's unbelievable. Like, I mean, it's funny. You said this to me and I didn't even think about it. You're the first person who kind of put it on Twitter. Was like, was that just a big fucking mind game?
Oh, it was.
That weight thing?
100%.
Now, she has come out and she spoke to Polsat, I believe it was, or one of the Polish stations. She said, and she's speaking to Ariel on Monday, but she said, it was just one of the days. Her weight just flew up.
And then it wouldn't go off.
And then she was like, I don't know if it's going to be safe for me to do this, but she made it. Piece of piss to her, no problem.
Yeah, she actually looked fine on the scales, and I think she looked bigger than she ever looked in fight night as well. She looked great. Like, she looked really,
in the cage, unbelievable.
Really healthy, and she looked solid. And
Watterson's an elite strawweight.
She's just a little bit small, man.
But she's an elite strawweight, but she was nowhere near Joanna.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait for fucking Joanna and Wiley Zhang there. That's going to be mental.
Yeah, that is going to be a cracker. And listen, I was impressed with Joanna. I think we needed to see that from her after, you know,
she's
the
one
last
of the greatest European fighters of all time.
Ever,
like,
ever.
I'm always like, why don't people realize this? It's like so obvious.
And you know, even if it was mind games that she played, she did it well because everyone was fucking talking about it. And, you know, that's what the best people in the world and the best fighters do. They create talking points from nothing. And listen, maybe it was to off-put Michelle Waterson. And, you know, we saw that brilliant stare down as well before the fight in the weigh-ins. That was class.
Deadly, yeah.
So, listen, I'm pleased for Joanna because I think we need her in that division. We need the hype. We need the shit talk. We need to put eyes in that division again. And I think firmly she's done it. So, you know, a good result probably for everyone in the UFC. And listen, Michelle Waterson as well. You got her credit. Stuck in there, hung in there, battled away, didn't go her way. Michelle is an absolute pioneer of women's mixed martial arts and probably doesn't get enough credit a lot of the time as well for what she's done for the sport, but you know, fantastic fighters to pair them.
Absolutely right. We're gonna have to piss through these because we have so many to do. Cub Swanson, very important win over Cron Gracie. Incredible fight. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Nico Price with an up kick finish.
Savage.
At James Vick. Time for James Vick to rethink things.
Yeah, 100%.
My god,
he's taking some nasty knockouts, man.
Mackenzie Dern comes back after having a kid 4 months ago and lose a pretty one-sided decision to Amanda Ribas, has to be said. Luis Piana, it was a split decision to Matt Frivola. Eric Anders back in the win column with a split decision. Your boy with a split decision over Gerald Marchard. Ryan Spann, lovely guillotine choke over Devin Clark. Mike Davis, Thomas Gifford. Let's talk about this for a second.
Well, belter.
Fair play to Bisping for calling it. Like, during the second round, he's already like, why isn't someone stopping this? Like,
no, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, a lot of talk about this you've probably seen online, but really, like, you know, I don't even want to say fair play to Thomas Gifford for staying in there the last 30 seconds or whatever. I mean, fuck's sake, like, shouldn't be happening. Figueiredo, brilliant again against Tim Elliott.
Elliott's really at a slump, isn't he?
Yeah, but Figueiredo's an animal, man. Marlon Vera gets the ground and pound finish to Andre Uhle, and a man who has previously beaten Andre Uhle, Mr. Nathaniel Wood, who seems to have a fight on the verge of being booked, basically said, people thought this guy would be able to beat me in stand-up.
Nah.
I love Marlon Vera and Nathaniel Wood. I understand you don't need to make it straight away, but Jesus Christ.
He's been calling for this for a while.
It's simmering away in the background there. They're, UFC are doing what Bare Knuckle FC aren't doing. They're just letting live.
Let it simmer.
Yeah.
Put on the frying pan.
Just one more note from Europe. It's Marvin Vettori with a decision win over Andrew Sanchez. Didn't look in trouble at all. Really eased to victory, I felt Marvin did. So he's been on a great tear since that Stylebender loss. And of course, he has been calling Stylebender's name every single time he has his hand raised, which he probably should.
He keep doing it because it ain't happening.
Yes, probably. But right, next one. Fucking hell, there's so much shit here, dude.
Well, there is.
Right, Bellator Milan. Apparently, Melvin Manoff told the Dutch press after his knockout finish of Yannick Bahati that he might retire. So that's interesting.
He's 43.
43 years of age. But I mean, Jesus, he's after taking out two British heavyweights back
to back. Did you see it? It was impressive, man. He landed. It was weird because Bahati, when he hit him, he sort of hit him on the hand when he was trying to block it, and he sort of knocked him off. he sort of lost his balance. Weird. And he just jumped on top and just absolutely bloody mauled him.
Stefano Paterno, a guy I really highly rate, a welterweight champion under Cage Warriors banner before he signed for Bellator. He beat Ashley Reese, quite a competitive fight. Ashley Reese, a very good fighter in his own right. Alessio Sakara pissed through a lad called Grigsby in the main event, who was an even record. Kane Musa.
I thought Kane won the fight.
It was meant to be. It's meant to be a very uneventful fight.
It was a terrible fight, but Kane did win it. He was a lot of work against the cage from both guys. They weren't landing an awful lot. Kane got a takedown, I think, the first or the second. I thought it was pretty much 29-28 Kane, pretty conclusively. But the judges didn't seem to think so, and Kane was fuming after the fight.
Yeah, can't imagine that was
terrible fight. That wasn't a good fight.
Can't imagine that was in Kane's plan for the fight. Obviously, like I felt like he's a big signing because he is such a he's such a vocal dude, a very vibrant person.
Leon was in his corner there as well.
Was he? Yeah. So he's up in Renegade now. That's very interesting. And moving on to One Championship Century, obviously you probably saw the headlines. Demetrius Johnson wins the flyweight title, Angela Lee suplex head and nearly killed her. but One Championship said they will have a look at that again. And possibly sanction her, but I don't think they will. Nah. You know, it's Angela Lee. She is the poster girl.
The poster girl of One Championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Mauro Cerulli in part two was edged out by Arjun Bular, who was making his debut. I expected Cerulli to be able to finish him, because Cerulli's an absolute monster, as we saw against Carl Moore that time when he stopped him in 15 seconds. But Bular is a hard man to fight, and his striking did look very much improved. He hit him. He smashed up his face, actually, with these kind of lunging uppercuts.
He looks labored, though.
Yeah, no, I expect Cerulli to be able to do him, you know, to be honest with you. Also there of note, Giorgio Petrosian, Italian kickboxing elite, wins the featherweight kickboxing title.
Italian
and
Grand Prix, I thought, what the fuck is that?
And apparently $1 million for that as well. Risen 19, Czech Republic native and former Eurobash guest Jiří Procházka flattened Fabio Maldonado, who really doesn't look like he should be fighting anymore, to be perfectly honest.
He's an old dude.
He wasn't at the races. He just wasn't at the races. As soon as Jiří's a monster, like, and just never looked like it was in doubt, you know. And Procházka, as same as he did when he was on this show, called out anyone on Bellator that wants a fight.
Can I just ask you one thing? There was a lot of intermissions during that show, wasn't there, Pete? You were texting me and I was taking the piss out of you for about an hour.
I can't believe. I think there was more intermission than fighting than that. Like, I think it was 3.5 hours of intermission.
That's fucking crazy. That is mental.
Look, because the typhoon situation, I was going to be like, whatever. But fuck me, by the end of it, I was ready to pull me fucking hair out.
I don't blame you.
I went straight to the boozer for the day. Me and Elaine. Why wouldn't you? Tanked.
Good stuff. Why not? In Rome.
Yeah. Also, should note that Europe has one last fighter flying the flag for us in the lightweight Grand Prix. It's Tofiq Musaev, who went through Damian Brown pretty handily in the opening round. He will fight Johnny Case in the second round on the 29th of December, with the final set to take place on the 31st of December.
Jesus.
God damn it, I love you, Ryzen. But that's just the way the cookie crumbled that time. Obviously, Cage Warriors had an event in Wales, a big moment for Mason Jones.
Looked fantastic.
He did. He looked brilliant, man. And really, after that win, after such a well-rounded win, it's got to be Joy. It's got to be him and Joy. Joy already has a fight book for that Birmingham fight, but Mason Jones versus him is just another brilliant example of what Cage Warriors do. You know what I mean? They've brought these guys back up through the ranks. They're two look very elite lightweights, and it's going to be a brilliant fight.
What age is he? 23, 4?
Yeah, I think he's quite a young man, but
he just looks, you know, in terms of his grappling and, you know, and his takedowns, and he was like a flying shit, man. The poor Finnish dude couldn't really do an awful lot. And that Kimura, man, fair play to him for hanging on in that first round. That was deep. That nearly snapped his arm. Like, I don't know how he didn't tap to that.
Yeah, no, he is a beast. And look, this is a guy, as we've had him on the show before. He was in, he went to train in Mayweather's gym. He trained with
Team Alpha Male.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's gone everywhere. And to his credit, like, Manta Kiwi is the last guy to beat Soren back. Yeah. So, I mean, he's
Ong.
Yeah, Ong, of course. But he's obviously a very serious dude, you know?
Sorry. Ong back.
8-0 Mason Jones. Yeah, a lot of another great showcase of Welsh talent. But as we predicted, Mason Jones definitely the guy to take.
Wales is the new Brazil of Europe.
Yes.
It's mental.
Why was Brazil in Europe before?
Yeah, it was. You know what I mean?
But huge amount of talent there. And Josh Reed getting back in there after that bantamweight tournament.
Did you see that uppercut?
Yeah.
Holy shit. It was an absolute corker in the first round.
Jesus.
Ran in and just exploded. Boom, motherfuckers.
Exploded, boom, motherfuckers. That's it. And now, obviously, there's just one more to talk about on Thursday night. And Noel, you can talk us through this. Brendan's appearance. I watched it today. I thought he was brilliant. I thought it was never in doubt.
Interesting. I listened to the interview.
We're about to hear it in a few minutes, but it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Right?
It does, because Brendan, obviously, if you watch the fight, that you know he did start off very tentatively. He threw a lot of leg kicks in the first round. You know, his distance control was fantastic, I think, for, you know, obviously having the cut or whatever, second round.
Yeah, so in the interview he tells us that he couldn't really box because he knew his eye was going to open up. He went into it with a cut over his eye and he basically couldn't spar at all. So that's why we saw so much kicking from him early on. Because I was looking going, I obviously watched the fight before I spoke to him and I was going, Jesus, his hands are so good. Like, why is he afraid to exchange with this dude? Well, not afraid. Why isn't he exchanging with this dude?
But it shows his IQ and he looked really good, I thought, anyway, in the first second. He gradually sort of letting the hands go more in the third round. He mixed them up with leg kicks, body kicks and started throwing combinations up against the fence. So you could just tell Brendan was getting pissed off. Fuck, look up, mate, and go in there and just start starching. And that's what he did in the third. But
Third, I thought he'd nearly had him finished.
And you pointed out to me as well before, you know, on Saturday, what was it, Thursday, or was it Friday morning, whatever it was, I don't know. But basically you pointed out to me when he was giving away the tickets, he put up the video, there's a little limp on him and stuff as well. He said, I think, during the interview,
he had a few bits.
And so, listen, fair play to Brendan, wasn't letting people down. And what a great guy as well, man, giving all the fans tickets. Kudos to Brendan,
not throwing shade here, but, you know, he didn't even need to do that call today and he sounded a little bit
hungover. I'd imagine Brendan was a little bit hungover. As I said to you that before, when I bumped into him in Vegas, and he was at the bar, with a thing of whiskey after a training camp. Mad geezer is Brendan.
You'll hear it now in the interview, but he was nearly getting Tyson Fury to come down and have a beer with him.
Brilliant.
But a single beer, I was like, you can't have a single beer with Brendan Lochnane. No way, man. Well done, Tyson. You made the right decision.
He'd be dropping whiskey and that and shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Manchester.
But look, I think it was mission complete for him, right? He wanted to stimulate PFL in this part of the world.
Look what he's done during the week, man. Look at the traction he's brought. He's brought eyes to PFL. It's exactly what PFL wanted. People talking about Brendan all over the bloody world and putting eyes in their promotion. And listen, really well done to Brendan. And much, much deserved. We've known Brendan for quite some time and a guy who's worked his bloody ass off to get there. And I'm glad he's getting handsomely financially rewarded as well because he deserves every bit of it.
He's living it up. It's great to see.
Definitely.
And look, again, he didn't have to do this today and he made a real effort to get on the phone with us and we really appreciate
Lend us
it,
a tenner lock now, will you?
will you sort out my ma's mortgage?
Just sort out me a fucking mortgage first. Forget me, ma.
Right, well look, we'll leave you with Brendan. We'll be back in a few minutes to have a look at this UFC Boston card. All the best. And now, back once again. It is a man that stole a lot of the headlines from the PFL event last week with his showcase performance, a win over Matt Wagge, a very dominant showcase, it must be said, for Brendan Lochnane. Brendan, how are you? And how was your adventure in Las Vegas?
Well, it's just coming to an end now, Peter, to be honest. It was a fun time, as Las Vegas always is. Go on.
You'd spoke to me. I know it wasn't on the show last week. We didn't have one, but of course you would have been on it if we did have one. But you were kind of saying, you know, you're in a suite. They rolled out the red carpet. I saw you met Mike Tyson. This seems like a pretty much a dream come true situation for you in your first PFL fight.
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely no complaints. PFL looked after me so well, treated me like a superstar, and fighting at the Mandalay Bay was. Really was a goosebump moment. It was amazing. So every box ticked, and then I would just move forward with this organization.
I saw in the post that you put up with Tyson, and you said, you know, I wanted to get the finish today. There was a hint of like nearly disappointment off it, but have you watched the fight back? It was incredibly dominant showing from you. Do you still think that, you know, the finishes are as important as just being as dominant as you looked out there?
Yeah, 100%. All I've come for is the finishes. That's what people want to see, and that's what I want to deliver. No excuses, but it was a bit of a compromise camp. That cut that opened up was an old cut, so I didn't spar for the whole camp because that cut kept opening, and I kind of knew that I had to play it safe. I didn't want to get stopped with a cut, so and then a few more little injuries. So you know, it was a bit of a compromise camp. So kind of had to play it safe, but yeah, kept the guy at distance and just used my legs.
Yeah, I noticed that actually, because your boxing skills are brilliant, and you're kind of known for your punching power and your punching ability, and obviously there was a lot more kicks in this fight. And to Matt's credit, like, I mean, he's won 10 of his last 12 fights coming into this. He's no slouch. Was that because of the cut? Is that why you went the route with the kicks, you know, as predominantly as you did?
Yeah, literally the first exchange of hands, the cut opened straight up, which I knew it would.
Shit.
And I knew that any kind of boxing exchanges was going to open it because the area was very weak. So it did have to be a safe performance, and I believe it was. And sometimes it was either that or just don't have to fight. So I'd rather do that than not have to fight and not get paid.
Absolutely. And with such a build-up, we knew it was going to be then. It was the debut. Of course, you didn't want to let these guys down, right?
Yeah, of course.
And what did you think of Matt when he was in there? I mean, did he cause you any trouble? Like, I mean, did you feel it was awkward to fight him in any way? Yeah, considering that, you wanted to get in there and go for the finish. Was he a trickier opponent than you thought he would be?
Yeah, I thought I was going to finish him in a second. That was my plan. His credit, much tougher than I thought, much stronger than I thought. I was going to set him up nice in the first and finish him in the second, but it wasn't meant to be. Matt had other ideas, obviously, and we had a good fight and it entertained the crowd. And then I went back to the old Brendan towards the end of the third and thought, fuck it, let's just swing out.
Yeah, he looked like you really hurt him there against the cage towards the end of it there. But I'm sure he was probably reluctant again because of the eye, right? Like, I felt like you've really hurt him there with a kick to the body, and then you start opening up to his head with some punches. And I thought, like, he was close to going out there. Did you feel that way as well?
Yeah, I felt him wilting a bit. But like I say, just like the last fight, it was running a bit too short with the time at the end of the third. I think I'd actually be better over five rounds, to be honest. I feel like I'm just getting warm in the third now. Something I want to work on in training for the next one. There's always positives I can take away. So, yeah, plenty to work on.
Tell me about the meeting with Tyson, because that was an incredible picture you guys took afterwards. How did that come about?
Well, the owner said, oh, you know, they really like me there. I mean, the owner, that Don Davis and Peter Murray, and they were nothing but nice, and anything you need, Brendan. And then he said, oh, come with me a minute. Actually, I'll tell you what happened. This is what happened. I just remembered I got a FaceTime of Tyson Fury, right?
With Tyson Fury?
Yeah, I was on FaceTime with him, but I was trying to tell the owner I was on FaceTime with Tyson, and he went, do you want to go meet him right now? And he thought I meant Mike Tyson. So I was like, yeah, okay. And he took me and met Mike Tyson. I was like, fuck it. Both Tysons in one night.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so you both had Tyson Fury and Mike Tyson on the same night congratulating you on this win.
Yeah, when I was getting my stitches done, my friend rang him and then put him on the FaceTime to me and I was talking to him. He was in Vegas as well. And he was saying, oh, I'll come over there for a drink. But he said he had a flight at 6 in the morning, so, and he was with his family, so, but I was going to come out, but he didn't end up coming in the end.
You're the wrong man to kind of meet for one drink, I think, Brendan, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think he would have been able to get out of there quick enough, you know?
Yeah, especially with Tyson Fury, it would have been a long night.
And what did they say? What did Fury have to say, first of all? And I'll ask you about Mike afterwards.
Well, I was getting the stitches, and then he just obviously had his stitches. And then he was telling me about his, and then we're having a laugh. And then I had a beer in my hand, so did he, and then we were cheersing over FaceTime. It was good.
Very cool.
Brilliant.
You said that Tyson, Mike Tyson, he enjoyed your performance anyway, even though you weren't able to showcase your punching ability, as we said earlier.
Yeah, no. He was nothing but, you know, because PFL really bigging me up to him as well. And he knew I was coming into the fight and stuff, and he was waiting for that performance, so just a bit devastated that I didn't get the finish, obviously. But, you know, he was happy with it. Everyone was happy apart from me. I'm a perfectionist. I want to go out there and finish everyone that I fight.
And, you know, when you first signed for PFL, you were hopeful that you would be able to fight on this one. And then I believe you were hoping to fight again by the end of the year. Is that a possibility still? Or do you think you're going to have to give this eye time to heal? Because, as you said, you know, it did take away from your performance to some extent.
Yeah, no. I'll be out in New Year's Eve, 100%. I'm going to give this a week or two that it needs. It got the stitches that it needs. I couldn't stitch it during camp for obvious reasons. So it was getting glued. The area wasn't strong. Now it's got, I've got 11 weeks until New Year's Eve, so I'll give it 4 or 5 weeks of plenty of rest and sort the area out and then start going from there and then probably pick my sparring up towards the last 6 weeks of the camp.
Yeah, that's incredible that you couldn't spar at all. Was that playing on your mind ahead of this, given how much excitement there was? I mean, I felt like everybody was talking about this card in Europe. Everybody, I saw everybody in the European scene tweeting about you, tweeting about this fight. I mean, was that playing in your head? Like, shit, I didn't even get to spar ahead of this.
Yeah, couldn't really spar, couldn't really wrestle for like the whole camp. I did it about 8 weeks out, and then I opened it again, first spar. I rested it for like 4 weeks, and then I had one spar, head guard, big gloves, and it just opened straight away, first touch, and I thought, oh no. So I had a decision to make, the camp, and we were like, right, we're going to go through with it, but I'm just going to have to lay off the sparring, and it just made me realise how important sparring is, to be honest.
Of course. And I mean, is there anyone there that you would like to face at this end of the year event, or is it just a matter of, you know, signing on the dotted line until you get yourself into that playoff situation next year?
No idea who they're going to give me, but what a dream come true to do Madison Square Garden and Mandalay Bay in 1 year. So there's no way you're missing that. I'll be fixing up my eye and I'll be ready for that.
Yeah, and I mean, have they mentioned anything about potential opponents or anything like that to you, or is it still up in the air at the moment who you could possibly face it? Did they mention anything afterwards?
Well, I've actually got a message of my manager to call him, so maybe I'll know in the next hour or so.
Well, you must tell us if you find out. And on the subject of your manager, I've got to ask you, were you aware of anything that happened between Ali and Abe? I know I've seen a lot of stuff. I saw Malky talking about it online. A lot of people seem to say that Ali struck Abe. You kind of asked him for a conversation. The reports go that Abe thought he was going to have a conversation, and there was a... obviously, Ali then struck him, allegedly, and Anthony Pettis tried to get involved. Security had to separate them. Sounds like a crazy scene. Were you around for that or anything like that?
I was nowhere near it. Obviously, I heard about it. I've not got the full story. I've not really spoke to anybody. It's just been doing my own thing in Vegas, as you do. So, I'm just catching up with my phone now, so I'm sure I'll get the full story today.
Yes, and tell them they must stop taking away from your headlines, Brendan. That isn't fair. They should have been all talking about you, not this guy. Not Ali and Abe.
Yeah, that sounds like a bit of a crazy altercation, but yeah, I'll be looking forward to getting the details of that one.
Well, Brendan, that's all I have for you, man. We're all delighted for you. Great to see you get off to a great start with PFL, and great to see everybody so tuned into that promotion over here. I feel like I said this to you as soon as you signed, that you would bring a whole new audience to that organization, and it certainly feels that way. Did they communicate that much to you? Were they happy with the amount of European interest you brought to this event?
PFL are extremely happy. I'm extremely happy. Feel like it was a perfect transaction for me to go there, and I feel I'm just, you know, I'm still super happy with everything and the way everything went, the way I was treated like a true professional, paid like a professional. Can't complain, not one complaint from me, and what a way to open my account with PFL.
Amazing, Brendan. You get home safely to Manchester, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully. Brilliant win, and congratulations to you and yours, my friend.
Top man pizza. Take care, my friend.
All the best, bud. Bye bye.
All the best, mate. Bye bye.
Thank you so much to Mr. Lochnane for getting on. The hottest property in PFL at the moment. And look, before this fight, actually, he was talking to me, and based on the traction he was generating, can he rival Kayla Harrison there for the biggest name there? I think he can, man. Like, it's not like people in Europe are going, can't wait to see Kayla Harrison fight.
Yeah, she signed a 5-year deal, or five-fight contract or something, I think.
Yeah,
the
look,
week
and
as well.
She's very good, but I'm just saying, it brings a completely different element to it when Brendan's there for us, right?
Like, oh, I mean, definitely, it's, you want to watch it.
Like, I saw so many like diehard fans tweeting about him during the week and stuff, so I think it's a huge deal for them. And I actually quite like some of the PFL graphics, the speed on the punches and stuff they kind of show.
And
like,
they do the ref cam as well.
Yeah, it's just something different, you know?
It is. It's you know, I think you have to do something different these days. And what they've done is, you know, I think they took it away for their last event before this one, and the fans actually requested it back, so they put it back in, which was pretty cool, I thought, as well. So yeah, you need something different. And
mind you, the All Pride Day is the All Ref Camp.
It does, it spices it all up. And listen, I think you know, for them, especially if they want to get sort of a base in Europe, Brendan's definitely the right man to go around. He's a big, big following over this side of the pond. And yeah, sensible stuff. And I like what they did all week. I like what they did all week. It was good, sensible. And, you know, making the fights, I think, available free as well is a no-brainer. We could give out about other promotions, about things like that, but they made it easy for you to watch as well, which I found really cool.
Hard to believe that the biggest headline that came out of the event was about two managers hopping the heads off each other.
Oh, Jesus, don't fucking start. Did you hear that? Like, I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what to say anymore. I listened to, you know, there was a round table.
Could you imagine this in football? Like a Premier League football, like in an FA Cup final.
Alex Ferguson and Wenger hooking each other.
Yeah, we just... Oh, it's madness.
It's just, you're getting to the point now with, you know, like, why does a manager have to be the front? Why, you know, stay in the background, lads. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, let your fighters get the attention. Let your fighters get the credit. You know, it doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, even Ali did that media day, which is a good
idea.
That's
what I was about to say, the round table. And yeah,
but he's putting the... that's good to put your fighters out there, but what was the big thing for me was, the confusing thing for me was, Habib has said on a few occasions, yeah, I'm going to fight Tony Ferguson. And then Ali comes out and he says, No, we don't
want to fight Ferguson, yeah.
And I'm like, hang on a second.
For ages.
Are you not meant to be representing Habib?
Yeah.
Like, did he not just say, yeah, I'll do that? That's the fight everybody wants, and you're saying he doesn't deserve it?
He's been saying this for a few months now. He's been slating Ferguson on Twitter. You're not getting the next shot, all this sort of stuff. And then, obviously, as you pointed out there, He did an interview with RT Today last week saying, you know, Tony Ferguson will be next. Mm. Man, I don't know. I don't know who's really calling the shots there. And it doesn't sit well. I mean, even though I watched, as I said, the round table there, and he was sort of putting words in his fighters.
TMZ roundtable?
Yeah, he was putting words in his fighters' mouths on who to fight and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, he's saying one thing, you're saying another thing there as well. Very similar to what you're saying about Habib. Listen,
but he's the most powerful manager in MMA. Like, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? Like, yeah. I mean, I think when I think about Habib, having spent a little bit of time around him, not much, I feel like he really is after that legacy. And I feel that if the move to legacy is to fight Tony Ferguson,
100%,
there's no other real option there.
Listen, Tony's the one who's got fucking screwed over the last couple of years. Yeah. I know, you know, unfortunate injuries, but Tony's been treated very poorly by Dana White in the UFC, even openly and publicly, even when he was holding the interim title. I remember, you know, Tony said, I'm next, whatever. And then obviously, unfortunately, he got injured, but they were trying to make the fight. But, you know, Dana White basically came out publicly and said, who the fuck is Tony Ferguson to say anything? He's your UFC interim lightweight champion at the time, Dana. Mm. Have a bit more respect for the guy.
Roy, let's have a quick look at this Boston card.
Rant over.
There's lots of rants this week. Chris Weidman v. Dominic Reyes at the top of the card. It's kind of like Rockhold and Jan Blachowicz, where everyone's kind of like, oh, if one of these guys wins, they're going to fight John Jones. I would have preferred Jan to get the shot. I know he's fighting Jack right now, but... you know, Dominic Reyes is certainly on a great run, and really the win over Volkan wasn't enough. Yeah. So I guess one over Chris Weidman will
solidify it. You know, a lot of people had that Volkan Ozdemir fight scored for Volkan in London, and I think he's going to have to go out here and be dominant against Chris Weidman. And it's going to be interesting to see Chris again, you know, back in there again at 205 pounds.
Has he not? He's not been in there. 205.
No. Has he not? Do you not fight?
I don't think so. I think that's his debut.
All right, maybe. Oh, it is his debut. Sorry, I thought. All right, doesn't matter.
For fuck's sake, no.
It's terrible. But yeah, I think it's a big, big night for Chris Weidman. You know, a change of scene, a change of weight. You know, 185 was an awful cut for him. We've seen, I think Ariel did a documentary in the past with him documenting a weight cut. And it was, you know, it is tough for Chris to get to 185. We need to see something from Chris here in this fight. He's lost like three of his last four fights.
Looking forward to Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens in the co-main event. We saw Jeremy in Dublin after the incident with Yair in the first fight. Real letdown after so much build up for that in Mexico City. So really looking forward to these guys getting it on. And if we thought there was heat before, there's even fucking more heat now after those exchanges, as we saw in the hotel lobby afterwards and stuff like that. Jeremy Stephens is not a man to be trifled with. And Yair Rodriguez, as we said at the time, did not shower himself in glory.
Not at all, man.
With the way he behaved over there, especially to Bisping, a European legend. How dare you? Your mate Greg Hardy's also on this card. He's improved a lot. He fucking hasn't.
He has. He improved drastically from the first fight. Oh, that's bullshit.
He's dead behind the eyes. Okay. he's fighting a fella called Ben Sassoli.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. So could be another improving moment for Greg Hardy out there. Joe Lowe's on Jonathan Pierce. Macy Barber, who Molly
Yeah, Molly put on blast.
Molly put her on blast. Else. She's texting Gillian Robertson and saying, "I hope you bash her." So
I see she did a documentary. I must have a watch of it with BBC.
Did she?
Molly McCann, yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And I think Corey McKenna was also on it.
Class.
So I'm going to have a watch that's on the BBC three player, apparently. So I'm going
to
have a
So we'll have to un-geo-block ourselves into that one, but yeah. We definitely will. Darren Wynn takes on Darren Stewart. They've had a great little back and forth online. Darren Wynn's a huge prospect.
Stewart's always in cracking.
He is Cormier's protege. He's a very short man. He's been slagging Darren Stewart, saying he looks like Tyron Woodley. Darren Stewart has been calling him a garden gnome in retaliation. So looking forward to that. I'm actually speaking to Darren tomorrow.
That's what I call my nephew.
Their garden.
A two-year-old nephew with garden gnome, yeah.
He is a psychopath, that nephew of yours.
No, not that one.
Oh, sorry. Manny Bermudez, Charles Rosa. Charles Rosa's always on in Boston.
He's always in good fights. He's from Boston.
Molly McCann, though. And the Annabelle beat that. Molly seems to be taken to the Bostonians like a house on fire, man. She is going around. She's gone to a game, I see, with Leah over there. And she's looking.
Leah in her corner.
Yeah, I think so. Molly looks fucking ripped, man. Do you see how she looks like she's after piling on muscle, man? She looks fucking, like, she looks savage, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah, she is a little savage. I'm really interested to see what Molly does because she's improved so much, man. It just, every fight she seems to get better since that loss.
She's so mentally strong.
She is, and it's a credit to her, and I'm looking forward to that one. It should be a fun one, and I'm sure the Bostonians will be in full voice for Molly.
There's lots of Americans on the rest of the card, but we do have an interview with a certain Sean Brady.
Claimed.
Yes, Noel has gone and claimed this man, but you've been saying for a long time, a lot of hype about this kid.
There is, especially in the Midwest, not Midwest, just, my geography's terrible, in Philly and stuff like that. Paul Fowler has been sparking about him for 6 years now to me, and the guy's unbeaten in his amateur career, 3-0 and then 10-0 in mixed martial arts. He was supposed to make his debut, I think, last March.
Philly, I heard, yeah.
And that was pulled. I don't know, I think his opponent got injured or whatever, but like, listen, they're putting him in on his debut.
Hard
against
fucking fight,
Court
man.
McGee.
Jesus.
A gritty, grindy vet like Court McGee, Ultimate Fighter winner. But Brady's one of these guys, I think he suits, as I say to him in the interview, that he suits the style of martial artist that's in the welterweight division at the moment. Really solid all-round game, good wrestler, gritty, grindy.
Listen, he has Irish pride tattooed on him. Do we need anything else?
That's it, claimed.
But, right, let's go. We'll talk to Sean. Noel had a great interview with him earlier this week. So we will leave you with that and we'll be back to talk some shit. Thank you very much, Sean.
Delighted to welcome on the show, eagerly awaiting his debut this week at UFC Boston. It is the undefeated CWFC prospect in Sean Brady who faces Court McGee in Boston on Saturday night. Sean, I'm very, very excited to speak to you. I've been following your career for quite some time. It's great to have you on the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to go. Like you said, we're about a week out from weighing. Well, this time next week, I'll already be weighed in and getting back to putting my weight on and getting ready to go. So I'm feeling good.
Talk to me about that. Obviously, you were supposed to make your debut last March, I believe, at UFC Philadelphia. What's it been like? It obviously been a bit of a frustrating sort of time for you on the sidelines waiting to make your UFC bow. Talk to me about the emotions, what have it been like for the last 6-7 months?
Yeah, man, it's been a roller coaster. It's been some of actually like my highest highs, my lowest lows. Like, I defended my belt for CFFC, and about 2 weeks later, I pretty much thought I was just going to be defending my belt again. And Eddie Alvarez, he's from Philly, and I know Eddie pretty well, and he actually called me on the phone, and we were just talking about setting up training because he was getting ready for his I think it was one of his one fights, like his first one FC fight, and we were just setting up some training, and he was like, "Man, you haven't got signed yet?" And I was like, "Nah, I'm just waiting to see what's up." So we hung up the phone, and I was actually driving to go train, and Eddie started sending me screenshots of him talking to Dana. And sure as shit, I got a contract the next day. So, I mean, I really, obviously, all my hard work is what got me here. But if Eddie's like a huge part of me getting signed. So I can't thank Eddie enough. And we thought we were going to get signed on the Philly card. And then some stuff didn't work out. And then just waiting around sucks. This, you know, I really wanted to rally off some fights. And sitting around sucks, but I've just been getting better and better, so it's going to be a good night for me in Boston.
Definitely. I didn't realize that Eddie had such an influence in you being signed with the UFC? Because I know you're good pals with Paul Felder as well. He's, you know, he's talked to us on this show for the last number of years about you being, I think his exact words were, a savage, watch out for this kid. Right, Eddie Alvarez, obviously, you know, a Philly vet as well, you know, excellent fighter. But, you know, I was a little bit surprised you didn't get actually signed a little bit sooner. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, it is. But you know what? It all worked out the way it was supposed to work out. A lot of people were trying to get me to get signed like earlier on in my career, like 5-0, and I just wasn't ready. And I knew I wasn't ready. You know, I wanted to get some more experience. And 10-0 is a perfect, like, I feel like I got enough experience. I'm good enough to fight anybody in the welterweight division and beat them, in my opinion. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be surprised with what I do in the UFC. Well, my teammates and my team they won't be surprised, but I'm definitely going to surprise a lot of people.
It's interesting you say that, because I think, you know, if there is talk, you know, a lot of fighters will say on the regional scene, one of the guys to watch out for was your name. Is there not a lot of expectation maybe on you going into this fight?
I really don't know. Court, to me, I'm fighting
Court McGee.
Court is the toughest guy I've ever fought, and your next opponent's always your toughest fight. But Court is very tough. He's
definitely,
he's a grinder. He's a gamer. He's been in the UFC longer than I've been a professional. Mm. So he's got a lot more experience than me. But I've been training for a long time, and I've been training with some of the best guys, and I've trained with some of the best guys, welterweight, middleweight, 205, and I hold my own, and I do even better than holding my own. So I know what I bring to the table. No one's just seen it yet on the world scene, but now I'm in the UFC and everyone's going to see what I'm about.
You talk about that, you know, what I take from watching your fights is you're a very well-rounded guy. You don't particularly stand out in one area. Everything seems to come together, and you're very, very physically strong as well. That's one thing I would say. Do you think that's the key in the UFC welterweight division at the moment? We look at the top of the division, it's all sort of guys who are able to grind really, really hard. You know, you've Colby Covington, you've obviously Kamaru Usman, Court McGee as well is a guy very much like that. Is that the style to succeed in the welterweight division at the moment?
I think it's a style that it depends on your body style. You know, like me, like I'm a shorter welterweight, so I've always fought guys who are 6'2", 6'3", and I just had to make do with what I had. Court's not that tall. He's only like 5'10", 5'11", so it's going to be nice to actually fight someone who's about my height. But yeah, I just use what I got. You know, I'm a shorter, stockier guy. And I got really good grappling, but I got really good striking too. And I always try to get to show my striking, but a lot of times the fight ends up on the floor and there's nothing really you can do about that. But yeah, I can strike with the best of strikers and I can grapple with the best grapplers. So whatever comes in this fight, I'm ready for it.
What's the preparation mean like for this? Has it been different? You know, obviously you're going to be in from the TD Garden, you know, massive Boston crowd. Have you done anything different in terms of getting advice from sort of maybe obviously the likes of Jonathan Webb, who I know is one of your coaches, former UFC vet, you know, Paul Felder, you've mentioned Eddie Alvarez there. Have they been in your ear? Have you asked them for any advice in sort of dealing with that big crowd?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like as soon as you get in there, all that kind of goes away. Obviously, I'm definitely going to have some new nerves being in the UFC and all that, but I do this every day. You know, I fight every day. Every day I'm getting after it. You know, I'm training my ass off to make sure I'm prepared everywhere for this fight. So once me and Court are locked in there, it's 15 minutes and nothing else matters. Mm. Only thing that matters is me getting my hand raised. That's all I care about. Obviously, I have a lot of people coming up from Philly and it's going to be amazing, but none of that shit matters. Only thing that matters is me beating Court and moving on to the next person and getting on my road to being the welterweight champion, which I know I can be and I know I will be.
Have Paul Felder or Eddie Alvarez reached out to you in any words of advice for your UFC debut?
I talk to Paul all the time. Like, Paul's a really good friend of mine. So he just pretty much nothing specific, just the normal stuff. You know, it's just, you're always going to be nervous. Even talking to Eddie and talking to any high level guy, those nerves never go away. And that's something I struggled with when I was a young pro. I would get so nervous before a fight. And then just with more experience, it got easier. But you're always going to be nervous. If you're not nervous before a fight, there's something wrong, you know? Like,
definitely,
you're getting in there to fight somebody in front of thousands of people. It's nerve-wracking. You know, you don't want to lose. You don't want to get knocked out in front of your family. But like I said, once we get in there and we start throwing leather, it's all going to go away, and it's a fight, and I know how to fight, so I'll be good.
Do you look up to these guys like Paul Felder, Jonathan Webb, and Eddie Alvarez?
Yeah. So Jonathan's my main training partner, and Jonathan's a coach of mine too. Jonathan's always been there for me, and he's coming up Monday with me, so I'll have a lot of guys. But Jonathan's been next to me every step of my career, and I'm lucky to have these guys in my corner. Same thing with Paul. You know, Paul goes out to Rufus Sport, and then he's back here with us. But I'm lucky to have these guys around me. You know, Paul's ranked number 6 in the world, and when Paul's home, I'm training with Paul every day. So I get to be around these high level guys and train with them and see what it's like. So yeah, I'm in a good position. I don't have to leave I live in Philly. I train in Philly. A lot of guys have to leave their hometown. I have great coaches and great teammates. I don't have to leave my family, my girlfriend for 8 weeks at a time. I get to stay home, train, come home, and relax and do everything right out of my home city. So I couldn't be happier.
Cool. Yeah, you've obviously had to cut down on the Philly cheesesteaks, though, I gather.
Yeah, I haven't had a cheesesteak in a while. I'll be getting one once I get home, that's for sure. But no cheesesteaks for a while.
Where's the best one? I've heard there's a lot of debate in Philadelphia about where's the best Philly cheesesteak.
So I'm from Northeast Philly.
Geno's, isn't it?
Geno's, that's like a tourist thing. For me, it's called Steve's Steaks. It's like a slab steak. It's not chopped up. It's a slab. And it's if you're from Philly, you know about Steve's, but there's so many different spots, but that's definitely my favorite. I'll be going there after the fight for sure.
Definitely. I'm
going
to have to get over to Philly one of the days and sample some of this food. Hey, Paul Felder's always telling me about how good the food is in Philly. But listen to me. Your debut, obviously, you've mentioned there, you know, Court McGee, a really, really tough dude, UFC veteran, Ultimate Fighter winner. Does this show you maybe what the UFC think of you and how highly they think of you putting you in on your UFC debut against a guy of Court's sort of solidity and ability?
Yeah, for sure. I was actually really, really excited for this matchup because coming in, Court has a name and Court's been around and people know who Court is, and Court's a tough, tough guy. I didn't want to come in and fight another guy kind of like me, like undefeated or whatever, who no one really knows. Like, this fight is going to bring, a lot of people are going to have their eyes on it for me, because especially being Court, and he won the Ultimate Fighter and he's been through a lot. And Court's only been finished, I think, one time in his career.
That's right, Santiago Ponzinibbio.
He's as tough as they come. You know, they've been in there with the best guys in the world and they couldn't put him away. So for me, going into this fight, knowing what I can do, and if I can put him away, that just will show the UFC how good I am. And every other guy at 170, that shit, this kid's for real and he's here to stay.
Do you think people?
I'm excited.
Do you think people are going to be talking about you next Sunday morning?
Yeah, for sure. I plan on, this is the sharpest I've ever felt in a training camp. I know everyone always says that, but I feel amazing. You know, I'm going to go in there, and whether I have to beat Court over the course of 15 minutes or knock him out or submit him, which I can do any three of those, I'm leaving that octagon with my hand raised no matter what. And people are going to, even more people are going to know who I am after that fight outside of Philly. Like, a lot of people know who I am in Philly, but the world's going to know who I am next Sunday morning.
It's about a statement then for you. Is that fair to say?
What? Say it again?
It's about making a statement for you.
Yeah. I have to make a statement. You know, I'm coming in. There's been, like you said, a lot of people thought I should have got signed sooner. So I got to go in there and do what I know I can do. I think I can beat anyone in the top 15. So I just got to go in there, do what I do against Court, and then keep this ball moving. You know, as I want to get in there and show the world what I can do, and because I know how good I am, and I know I can be. And I know I can be a champion in the UFC, and I just got to go perform. And that's what I plan on doing.
Are you one of these guys who looks at the UFC welterweight division and sort of eyes it up and sort of maps out your path? Is that how you perceive when you're looking on a fights?
Not really. Court's the only person on my mind right now, you know, and that's the way I've always been. A lot of people have always asked me, like, oh, what do you think about this guy? When I have a fight, I only think about one person. But after the fight, I always watch. Anytime I'm watching the UFC and if a welterweight's fighting, I'm watching that fight because you never know. So I always try to keep my eyes on everybody. But yeah, only thing on my mind right now is court. I'll figure the rest out after this fight. But I got a tough test ahead of me, and I plan on acing the test and then moving on.
How do you see it panning out? Do you see a finish? Do you see him, dominating for three rounds? How in your mind does this fight finish?
In my mind, I always want to finish, but sometimes I even think dominating a fight from start to finish is even more impressive. So whatever court gives me, it's gonna be a tough fight for him, and it's gonna be a tough fight for me. But I know as long as I don't beat myself, I can beat anybody in the world. So I just gotta go in there confident, knowing what I can do, and it shouldn't be that hard for me to perform. And I'm looking for a finish, but I'm ready to fight for 15 minutes hard. So, and I know he is too. So it's gonna be a good fight.
Looking forward to it. Listen to me. Tell me about your Irish family history. I have to ask you about that one. Obviously, you like a name, Sean Brady, and Irish pride tattooed on the end, I believe, as well. You were looking for a half and half American and Irish flag as well.
Yeah. My grandparents were straight off the boat from Ireland. Wow. So my dad's 100% Irish. My mom's pretty much all Irish. I take pride in my Irish heritage. Now, obviously, I love being American, but yeah, I'm looking for that Irish American flag. I gotta see if I can get two flags and stitch them together. But yeah, man, I'm excited. I've only been up to Boston to train a couple of times and never got to actually experience the city. So going up there, we get to go up there on Monday and I don't fight till Friday. So wow. I'll get to walk around, see some cool stuff. Not fighting in Philly sucks, but Boston's the next best thing. You know,
definitely.
Like you said, that all the Irish fans up there, hopefully they get behind me and not court. So, I'm looking to make some new fans out there. That's for sure.
Well, we're claiming everyone we can at the moment. So, are you going to have that? Are you going to have that Irish flag on your shorts?
I'll definitely accept being claimed by the Irish. That's for sure.
Looking forward to it. Listen to me. I'm massively looking forward to your debut in Boston this weekend, Sean. I really do appreciate you taking the time out to stop by on the show today.
Of course, man. Thank you so much. I look forward to doing more interviews with you soon.
We bulldoze our way through it. We are at the end of the episode now. We're free to talk absolute garbage.
It's good to have an Irish fighter back in the UFC this weekend, isn't it?
We've got three now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Ireland.
Let's do it.
But look, I was actually speaking to my dad before I came down here.
Does your dad even speak to you anymore? I'm surprised.
Sometimes when I mention sport, but I was saying to him, like, this weekend could be the end of you. First of all, Ireland are going to get trounced by New Zealand, and then Liverpool are going to absolutely destroy United.
I mightn't be showing up next Monday. I could be in the pub this time next Monday still.
I think this weekend could really hurt you.
It could, yeah. No, Saturday, I was disappointed for Bundy Aki getting the red, but it was a red. Anyone who wants to argue that it wasn't red, you're idiots. It was a red card.
How funny is it that the Irish sent over a legal team to Tokyo to try not to get... That's the most rugby shit I've ever heard in my life.
They all do it in the rugby. That's standard rugby.
That's standard rugby.
No, but it is. If you have an international hearing, there's always a legal team present with you. It's mad.
My God.
But listen, it's going to be a tough ask for the lads on Saturday. I think we're going to have to play to our very best, and we need Sexton firing on all cylinders. I don't see it happening myself personally, but listen, you never fucking know. It would be amazing if we could reach the heights of we did 18 months ago when we were the best team probably on the planet. It's going to be tough though this weekend, a World Cup scenario against
was that that time where we bet the All Blacks in a friendly and we act like we won the World Cup? Yeah that was the saddest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, we went a bit OTT about it.
What do we have to winning? Yeah. Oh, just the match.
No, we did go a bit. We were a bit like the English. We did milk the arse off it, and it was, I think...
I thought we were after winning the World Cup.
I think there was like three of the team played in that match in Chicago where it was on.
Chicago.
In the first game we won against them.
Why they lost. I mean, they had to travel an extra fucking 12 hours to play the game, probably.
So, listen, it is what it is. But as for United, fuck me, man. I don't know. I think we could be a Trump trench this Sunday. I hope Anthony Martial is back. We need him back, but... It doesn't look good at the moment, considering the form Liverpool are on. They're going for, I think, 18th successive win in the league, and my heart could be very depressed next Monday.
So you're anticipating two losses?
No.
But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, stop. No, we're
going
to win.
Who's going to be who worse? Will the All Blacks be Ireland worse or will Liverpool
no,
be
no,
Ireland
No, no,
worse?
No, no, no. Ireland will perform.
Can I just say my notes for this is Ireland v All Blacks, United v Liverpool, dash, a week of sporting calamity for Noel McGrath.
Yeah, no, I guarantee you, Ireland are playing now tonight as well. When the time of this podcast goes out against Switzerland, we're going to lose. I even tweeted on Saturday before the match kicked off. I said, "Right, we're playing Georgia away. Perfect opportunity here to get 3 points. Ranked 91 in the world." And I tweeted beforehand, "We're going to fucking shit the bed here. What do we do? Put in the worst performance having years, nil all fucking draw. And now we needed a bloody point from the last two games. If we'd beaten Georgia, now we need to win." Away to bloody Switzerland or at home to Denmark, who trounced us 5-1 in a World Cup qualifier 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck my life. This week is going to be shit.
That was the Saturday, as I said to you. I went in the beer straight after. Was that Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. So I went in the beer and I was giving out shit to Elaine. We're 15 minutes late for the start of the Georgia match. And I was saying, the pubs are going to be packed. Everyone's going to be there for this.
No one. Out letting his dog at the bar.
Absolutely nobody in the bleeding place. Elaine's like, oh yeah, it's fucking packed, isn't it, you dickhead? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you what, I went out for a couple of pints last night after finishing the office and fucking no one around, man. Where's everyone gone?
Yeah.
It's Sunday night, normally you get a few stragglers.
Yeah.
There was actually no one around. It's the city centre.
I went for an El Carvey on yesterday. It was fantastic.
Nice. Yeah. What'd you get?
Just all of it. And meat.
Yeah?
Yeah. They only had beef, bacon and turkey. So we got both bacon and turkey.
Turkey's great. It's underrated turkey.
Especially when it's moist. I hate when it's dry.
Yes.
Don't fucking annoy me with dry turkey.
Don't dry. Like you choke and the shit. And then you get a lot of gravy and just drink the shit. But listen, it could be a tragic week. But I'm gonna fucking say we're gonna do some good shit this week.
Who?
Ireland's and
Manchester United.
No, I think United are probably the most unlikely. I think the rugby lads will come close. Okay, right. I'm gonna make a prediction here.
Oh my god,
Ireland are gonna beat the All Blacks 24-23. Johnny Sexton drop goal, 81st minute. Johnny Sexton. And it'll just be over, and then we'll beat the English. England will beat France in the other, and we'll play England in the semis, and we'll whoop them. Alex Corbisiero, bring it on.
Congratulations, Alex Corbisiero. You got engaged, my friend.
Big time.
What a beautiful man. It's amazing that some woman has managed to take him off the market. I always thought I'd be in with a late run at Corbisiero to try and get him married.
I thought he did after he picked me up like a toothpick in Belfast. He snapped me.
Nearly as big as me and you is Alex.
No, I messaged him and I said, congratulations, whatever, and he said, hopefully we'll see him at an event soon, so we go on the beers with Al. Big Al, great guy. Yeah. And congratulations, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful
great
man.
Great person.
I guess that's everything we've got. Yeah, that's everything. We've done it all.
What's your prediction for the match?
Losses on both.
I think we'll shit the bed, definitely, in the football tonight.
Heavy losses.
I think we could lose
3-0. I feel sorry for that 12-year-old we're playing up front and expect them to change the world.
I really do hope they start Aaron Connolly.
McCarthy said he's going to start Aaron Connolly, but fucking God, better. Love him. Like, he's 12 and he's just made his confirmation.
Class,
and they're like, oh yeah, go ahead, mate.
He's
lead
class.
Us to glory.
He scored twice against Spurs 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I thought he played for Spurs.
No, he scored for Brighton against Spurs. Scored 2.
All right, not as excited anymore.
He's not with Spurs. You're thinking of Troy Parrott, the other kid.
Troy Parrott, that's who I'm thinking
he's
of.
He's the 21s. Connolly's in the senior squad. Parrott's on the 21s of Stephen Kenny's side. So.
Is it surely he's better than all of the players we have on the fucking team, though?
Probably, yeah.
Apart from that midfield, Seamus Coleman.
I would have done a better job in that midfield.
The look Seamus Coleman has when he's just looking around that pitch is just absolute despair. You can
it
just
is,
see him
no.
going, what the fuck is
he
going on? He's deadly, man.
Yeah, he's good.
He's the only world-class
player. I actually think he should be dropped, to be honest with you. I play Matt Doherty right back.
I don't even watch the fucking games, man. I'll
tell you what, Saturday was hard to watch because it was so shit. It was so bad. There was nothing. Totally disjointed. Couldn't pass the ball.
Elaine summed it up very well. When my dad said, she said to me, "Dad, did you see the match?" And my dad said, "I just saw the highlights." And Elaine said, "What fucking highlights?"
She's dead right. I was watching. I turned over and I watched. I think there was a game on after. It was the Denmark and Switzerland game after in our group. And the station that we were watching it on here, they did highlights of the Ireland game. I swear to fuck, I'm not lying. 30 seconds. It was just. I was like, "Is this actually highlights?" It was going. Doof, doof. I swear to God.
Went from kickoff to 35 minutes.
Poor
to
Trevor Welsh
minutes.
In the commentary. Like, good chance from Ireland at the end. It's like, a header from a corner. I was like, all right.
That straight went straight into at the keeper. Yeah.
That was the major highlight of the match. Oh, it was absolute fucking brown.
I was actually texting Guilherme, and I was like, oh, Guilherme, I'm out watching Ireland, and it's painful. I wish it was Brazil.
He's to watch Brazil.
Just for a day to be like, well, yeah.
One day.
Yeah.
But
go to the beach.
You don't want to beat them in the last World Cup when they lost 5-0 at home to Germany, or 7-0.
Well, at least they were fucking at it, weren't they?
I suppose so, yeah. I don't really want Ireland to be at it. I don't know if it's a good thing if we qualify.
Oh, no, I agree.
But the only good thing is the Euros are on all over Europe next year, so we've 3 games here. So it'd be a bit shit if it's here and we're not in it.
They have to let us in, right?
They have to just let us in, like that France thing. Remember, out of 35th country to the World Cup, or 33rd country. Yeah,
that was so sad.
That was embarrassing,
so stupid.
Why are we so cringe? Like,
oh,
such sour grapes. Like, fair play to Henri for the handball. Fuck it. Like, do you know what I mean? Do anything for a win. Yeah, like
we've gone completely away from MMA here.
We have.
Well, look, this shit happens.
And lots of American football on in London this weekend.
Oh, the Panthers.
The Cougars.
The fucking...
There we go.
Touchdown.
Spurs Stadium. All
right. Right. Rapping. Love yous loads. Thanks very much. Here's a big kiss from me and one from Noel. See yous. Well, several. I'll see yous later next week.
That's the worst intro ever.